KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have a cloudy sky at 64 degrees. We look for scattered showers and thunderstorms today, a high of 75. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Rex Pharmacy, where they'll help you stay on track with your medications. Ask them about no-wait refills and Rex Packs. A traffic stop at around 3:20 this morning on Highway 34 in Adams County resulted in two people being arrested on drug charges. Adams County deputies pulled over a vehicle for having a defective headlight near Fig Avenue on Highway 34. And upon making contact with the driver, 34-year-old Wayman Lee Foster Sr. of Creston, a small baggie of marijuana was observed in plain view. A probable cause search of the vehicle was conducted, during which more than 18 ounces or 504 grams of marijuana and THC products were found. The items had recently been purchased in Colorado. Foster was arrested for possession with the intent to deliver, failure to affix a drug tax stamp, possession of drug paraphernalia, and violation of a no-contact order. His passenger, Ashley Nicole Foster, was arrested on the same charges and additionally charged with three counts of unlawful possession of prescription drugs. Police in Red Oak report 21-year-old Stephen Cody Esquivel of Red Oak was arrested around 1:30 this morning for possession of a controlled substance first offense and possession of drug paraphernalia. He was brought to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $1,000 bond. Sunday night, Red Oak police arrested 22-year-old Daniel Joseph Pate of Atlantic for public intoxication. He was held in the Montgomery County Jail on a $300 bond. And 28-year-old Randy Lynn Van Leuven of Red Oak was arrested for violation of a no-contact order. Her bond was also set at $300. Adair County Sheriff Jeff Vandewater reports three arrests. On Wednesday, 31-year-old Melissa Ann Sapp of Grimes was arrested on Interstate 80 at the Olive Street westbound exit after she was stopped for allegedly driving off without paying for a little more than $40 in gas at the Adair Casey store. A records check indicated the woman was wanted on two warrants out of Polk County. She was arrested on those warrants and for theft in the fifth degree associated with a gas drive-off. Sapp was released on her own recognizance on the theft charge and turned over to Polk County deputies on the warrants. 33-year-old David Spencer Reeves of Waverly was arrested August 8th. By Stewart police in connection with incidents that occurred the previous day. Reeves was taken into custody for criminal mischief in the fifth degree and harassment in the first degree. Authorities say at around 10:30 p.m. on August 17th, Stewart police were called to a residence on South Gaines Street for a report of a dispute involving a knife. A woman said her son, David Reeves, had threatened her with a knife and slashed a tire on her vehicle. A search of his vehicle resulted in a partially mud and dirt-covered knife found behind the driver's seat on the floorboard. His mother subsequently requested a no-contact order be issued against her son. And David Reeves was being held in the Adair County Jail on a $2,000 cash or surety bond. And 33-year-old Damon Matthew Wells of Creston was arrested on Highway 25 at around 12:40 a.m. on August 18th following a collision between his vehicle and a deer. Upon further investigation, Wells was charged with OWI second offense, as he has previously been charged with OWI first offense two separate times in Union County. Wells was cited and later released. Police in Council Bluffs are looking for a suspect in connection with a robbery Sunday morning of a Quick Shop store at 3632 Avenue G. Officers were called to the scene at around 10:14 a.m. and spoke with a 35-year-old man from Nebraska, along with the station attendants. The attendants told police an 18-20-year-old black male entered the business and struck the man from Nebraska on the leg with an aluminum baseball bat. The suspect then demanded money from the man and ordered the attendants to empty the cash registers and hand him the money. The suspect left the store and ran westward. He was said to have been wearing a gray zip-up hoodie, black mask over his mouth and nose, and burgundy-colored sweatpants. If you have any information on the suspect, call the Council Bluffs Police Department's Crime Stoppers at 712-328-7867. And a bold plan is being proposed to create a nationwide biking and hiking trail from Washington, D.C. to Washington State that would also cut a path through the heart of Iowa. Lisa Hine, director of conservation programs at the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, says the route across Iowa would encompass 465 miles of trail from Council Bluffs to Davenport. Already 246 miles are complete, but don't pump up your bike tires just yet in anticipation.
In Iowa, trails have to apply for competitive grant funding. And in the State Recreational Trails Fund, there's $1 million, and so that might do 3 miles of trail. So at that rate, it's going to take a few years, but folks are plugging away at it.
Many of the trails in Iowa are existing, but creating the links between them would be a long process. Still, the concept of a 3,700-mile coast-to-coast trail of this sort is staggering and alluring.
There's a lot of interest and support, across the country. And because it's not just for bicycling, you know, people can get out and walk and run. These trails are really linear parks, and being able to connect across the country is pretty exciting from a transportation as well as recreation and tourism standpoint.
Many segments of the proposed Great American Rail Trail are to be built on former railroad beds, but it takes time to acquire other connecting tracts of the land, clear it, grade it, and build the trails.
I guess I'm optimistic that, you know, the interest and action and implementation of this will just continue to grow, especially as big visions like this are put forth by national organizations, and Iowa can be a very important piece to the entire puzzle.
Current Iowa trails will be incorporated under the plan, include the Cedar Valley Nature Trail, High Trestle Trail, Raccoon River Valley Trail, the Heart of Iowa Trail, and the T-Bone Trail. It will likely be several years before a truly statewide bicycle trail exists in Iowa, Hines says, reaching from the Missouri River to the Mississippi.
I don't know that we have really put a time frame on it at this point. You know, this whole concept was just launched this spring, and so, you know, folks are really getting a handle on it and working on how this vision could be implemented in Iowa.
Learn more about the proposal at the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation website, the link to which can be found in this same story on the news page at KJAN.com. In our funeral announcements, Leona Trushinsky, age 85, of Guthrie Center, died Wednesday at the new homestead in Guthrie Center. Services for Leona Trushinsky will be today at 10 a.m. at the St. Mary's Catholic Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Alan Jensen, age 83, of Manila, died August 19th at the Manila Manor. Funeral services for Alan Jensen will be today at 11 o'clock at Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Mary Ann Osman, age 87, of Clarinda, died August 17th. A mass of Christian burial for Mary Osman will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Clinton Ashburn, age 51, of Greenfield, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Clinton Ashburn will be today at 1 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. J. Colette Scobie, age 93, of Avoca, died Friday. A mass of Christian burial for J. Colette Scobie will be today at 2:30 at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Robert Bob Hayes, age 87, of Guthrie Center, died Thursday. Services for Bob Hayes will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Faith Bible Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center has arrangements. Michael Eugene Porker, Porker Sr., age 40, of Harlan, died Thursday. A visitation for Michael Porker Sr. will be held tomorrow from 6 until 8 p.m. at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Dean Leonard Klein, age 56, of Panama, died Sunday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A mass of Christian burial for Dean Klein will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at St. Mary's of the Assumption in Panama. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Edward Bloom, age 81, of Harlan, died Sunday at the UNMC in Omaha. A mass of Christian burial for Edward Bloom will be on Thursday at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Panama. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. And John F. Schroeder, age 95, of Atlantic, died August 15th at the Heritage House. Per his wishes, the body has been donated to the University of Iowa Medical School, and no services are planned at this time. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira is in charge of the arrangements. The news was brought to you this hour by Rex Pharmacy in Atlantic. The prices you need, the service you deserve. I'm Rick Henson reporting.